Hi folks, it's Tom. Just a note to say that one of the cartoons we talk about in this episode, Lilium, contains some pretty intense gore, so if that's something that you might be sensitive to, then this is your content warning. That said, hope you enjoy the rest of the show.
Hi, I'm Alex.
And I'm Tom. And on this episode of Flash in the Pan, simple and clean is the way that you're making us feel.
We grew up in a world of online animation. And we're digging you out for your consideration. Bringing you the tunes that made us who we am. Flash in the Pan. Flash in the Pan.
Hi, I am Tom.
And I'm Alex.
And welcome back to Flash in the Pan, the podcast where... What's that? Look, that's just... It's Flash animations.
Oh, wow, awesome.
Yeah.
I've seen one or two of those.
Well, that's good, because we're about to talk about some.
Excellent. I came to the right place.
Yeah, sorry that it's been a while since our last recording. Real life stuff has been kind of blowing up,
yep.
For good and bad reasons,
yep.
I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
But we're doing an episode now, and it's it's going to be a corker from what we've uncovered.
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah. Right at the top of the show, it should mention that, as always... You can find links to all of the cartoons we talk about on our website, which is flashinthepancast.com, and we should have some YouTube links there as well. Some of our previous episodes, we can't find any uploads on YouTube of the stuff we talked about, so if you have those, if you know where we can find them, please link them to us, because that would be super, super helpful, and we'd obviously, give you a shout-out on the show and stuff.
Yeah.
So there's some extra incentive for you, Flashketeers.
Whoa, is that what we're calling them?
You know what, yeah.
All right.
Well, welcome back to the show, Flashketeers.
Okay.
What?
Sure. Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Super Flash Bros has already taken.
Damn.
Yeah, so we've got just two animations to talk about today, but I think we'll have plenty to say about both.
Yes.
And we're going to start off with one of my favorites, one that's very close to my heart, which is called All Your Pie by Legendary Frog. Yeah. You haven't seen this before, have you?
I haven't.
Well then, you're about to.
Recent studies have shown if you eat a pie a day, you will have a 5% increase of yummy.
And we're back.
There's a lot to absorb.
There's a lot to absorb.
Yeah.
So let's start with your first impressions.
Well, it's Ark and Kerrigan, who we've mentioned before.
Yeah, they showed up in a cameo at the end of one of the Matrix Has You shorts.
It feels a bit, I think it feels a bit awkward,
mm-hmm.
mostly because of the lack of background noise.
Yeah.
And also, it's kind of funny, but, a monkey shows up because he thinks about a monkey, and then it's a Star Wars monkey, because that's not very interesting.
Yeah.
Which is fair.
Yeah.
Actually, no, that's not fair. Monkeys are very interesting. Have you ever seen a monkey at the zoo?
I have.
It's fucking fascinating.
But you seem to really enjoy the Star Wars monkey sequence.
I mean,
for whatever reason.
It was just the fact that it was now it's a Star Wars monkey, and I was like, that's pretty good. There's some very small, immature part of my brain that's like, cool, a Star Wars monkey.
Yep, okay, that's,
So it's basically telling me if I had been 14, I'd have flipped my shit.
Well, you were 14 when this came out.
I was. I didn't see it.
No, you were 13.
Oh, I didn't see it, but yeah. Yeah. That's it. Overall, it's pretty good. It's got at least one good laugh out of me with the radio bit.
Oh.
Because we've all done that.
Yeah.
We've all been that person miming along to a song when we think no one's looking.
Oh yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just the pie thing. It just brings back all the memories.
Yeah. So what do you mean by the pie thing?
Pie was that thing that people used to say because it was assumedly automatically funny back in...
As with monkeys.
Yeah, actually. It was the whole pirates versus zombies thing.
Yeah, I think you mean pirates versus ninjas.
Pirates versus ninjas.
And the police heard you as they went past just then.
Sorry. I will go quietly.
Sorry, officers.
Yeah, it just reminds me of all that stuff from like early to mid 2000s.
This is late 2002.
Right, yeah.
So this is smack bang in the prime ninja versus pirate territory.
Yeah, it's that it's like that lol random.
The monkey cheese humor, yeah, as it was called.
Yes, it hits the nail on the head, exactly.
I think that's fair to say, yeah. Yeah. So for whatever reason, so this is by Legendary Frog, who we covered before.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, this was my favorite cartoon of his, to the point where I would watch it on at least a monthly basis between the ages of like 13 and 16.
Was it because of the Mentos connection between this and
Perfect Kirby? No, yeah. It wasn't. I was first aware of this and Perfect Kirby before I even knew Mentos was a thing.
Okay.
To me, it felt like a weird non sequitur Monty Python end to a sketch.
Yeah, sort of.
You know, like one of the sketches where like a Sergeant Major comes in the door and says, "Stop that, it's too silly."
Yeah.
But in this case, it's just a Mentos advert.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
that did confuse me. I was like, but why?
It's watching your face at the end, because I was like, oh yeah, it was a picture. Premise, in terms of the premise, it's incredibly simple.
Yeah.
Kerrigan, the girl one, has made a pie. Ark, the boy one, has been told not to eat the pie, and he is left alone with the pie for less than 3 minutes, and he has, like, almost a nervous breakdown about wanting the pie.
Yeah, to the point where he's, like, hallucinating.
Yeah, he hallucinates and thinks the pie is speaking to him.
In the voice of Sean Connery.
And calling, yeah, in the face of Sean Connery. Winners go home and fuck the prom queen. And then they eat pie.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, basically.
And he gets a sword out. He screams gladiator, and I don't know why he screams gladiator before attacking the pie.
Is that a reference to the movie Gladiator?
Maybe. Oh, yes. That famous scene where Russell Crowe jumps at a baked good screaming gladiator.
I don't know. I haven't seen the movie.
Have you not seen Gladiator?
No.
Oh, we've got to watch Gladiator. Gladiator's good. It's basically, it's definitely a Simpsons did it kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I can think of, I mean, it directly references an episode of The Simpsons, but like, it is a very Homer Simpson sequence, I think.
But a very, it's like a, I think if it was like the Simpsons, that would be like super truncated into like, I don't know, a half minute joke.
Yeah, if it had been the Simpsons, it would have been, now Homer, don't you eat this pie? And then the next scene is Marge coming into the room and the pie is everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
exactly.
But this one decides to explore the mental realm of wanting pie that you can't have.
Yeah.
I really genuinely love the radio announcement.
Oh, yes. Also the explosion at the pie factory.
Yeah, and everyone is happy, especially me, despite, quote, dozens being injured.
No, yeah, that was good.
Yeah, it's like recently there was a news story in America, I think, about a lorry full of Lynx body spray crashing. One thing I like about even like, pretty simple. This is basically just like a simple comedy sketch, sort of sitcom setting, yeah, sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But like, even then, you've got like fun little jokes. Like if you zoom in on the background, which you can do because it's a flash. Zoom in on the background, you can see the games that they own for the GameCube, which are. Do you want to tell?
Yeah. So we've got Luigi's bathroom, which makes sense. He is a plumber, I think.
That's true.
I mean, Mario's not a plumber anymore. I don't know about Luigi.
What, do you think Mario lost his license?
Nintendo officially went on record and said Mario doesn't do plumbing anymore.
What?
Yeah, this happened just before Mario Odyssey came out.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Resident Tenderness, which I can only assume is some kind of dating simulator starring Resident Evil characters.
What? Are you going to get to, like, smooch Alfred Ashford or something?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
Some people would be down for that.
Some. Yes.
Perfect Kirby.
Yeah,
of
because Perfect Kirby.
Perfect Kirby.
Yeah.
Pikmin 2, The Revenge.
We which is really cute, because this came out when Pikmin 2 wasn't a thing yet.
Yeah.
And so the idea of Pikmin 2, the revenge,
is a funny one.
Yeah.
I don't think Pikmin 2 ended up having a subtitle.
No.
But if it should have had one, it should have been that one.
It should have been
and
the revenge.
Star Fox on Ice.
Now, Star Fox on Ice is something I would genuinely love to see.
Same.
Mostly because, I don't know if you've ever seen any, like, ice shows like that. In person or online or anything. Mm-hmm. But from the ones I've seen, like, there's this amazing Mario one from the early 90s, which I will try and find.
Oh, my God.
But what I'm imagining is, like, the R-Wings would be, like, these big cardboard constructions or, like, balsa wood supported by, like, three skaters.
See, if Nintendo would be a bit less cowardly and put Star Fox in Mario and Sonic at the Olympics,
oh my
Star Fox
goodness.
On Ice could be realised.
It really could!
It really could.
Oh, wow.
But as we all know, Fox has only lived 15 years, so that's why there's been no new stuff.
I don't know. I just want to see Peppy Hare do a triple Selco.
Oh my god, yes.
Yeah. I want a full remake of the film I, Tonya, but with the cast of Star Fox.
Bloody hell. Okay.
So, yeah, you got all these other little jokes, like, and in jokes and references and so on. Like, at the end, when there's pie everywhere, he's written Frodo Lives on the...
I didn't notice that.
On the picture in the background. Like... When he collapses, there's a little Sauron doll from One Ring to Rule Them All.
Oh, nice, yeah.
The muffin is the same muffin from a previous Kerrigan short and that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's very sweet.
Yeah.
Like it's really benign. I don't mean that in a dull way.
I get you. Yeah.
But like it's charming. You know, I as a 12-year-old. Was perfectly fine watching this.
Yeah.
You know, like, my mum would not have come in, looked over my shoulder and gone, what on earth is that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
As she did with things like Joe Zombie, for instance.
Oh, God, yeah. yeah, I mean, despite the fact that, like, it's kind of a knee-jerk reaction, some of it making me roll my eyes, it's harmless. It's nice.
Yeah, I think the eye-rolliness does come in because, like, it does definitely feel like an amateur project,
yeah.
By, like, you know, a teen.
Well, that's what it is.
Which is basically what it is, yeah. And it's with the same kind of finding his voice, finding his sense of humour style that we talked about a while back when we covered one of his first ones, which was One Ring to Rule Them All. Like, yeah. you can feel him, even between this and that, starting to find his own comedy voice and stuff.
Yeah.
As we continue covering more of his stuff and getting later in his Flash career, we'll get to see more of that blossom, as we have done with other people, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Let's see. There are a couple of things in terms of the subtitles that amused me, which is that at one point... the subtitles say that Ark is happy, just me and my cereal. But he actually says, in terms of the vocals, he actually just says, with my cereal.
I think I noticed the spelling error at some point, but I can't...
Oh, yeah, but like it...
I can't remember what word it was.
Temptation.
That was it.
Yes.
Temptation.
Temptation.
The P is silent.
All I desire. Temptation. Oh, also, and there's one more thing I should mention about just the way that the Flash is made, right? Which is, depending on when you watch it, right? And this is pretty cool. The clock in the top right of the screen, the clock on the wall, is accurate to your computer's clock.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That blew my fucking mind when I was 12.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't have to do
yeah,
it that way,
that's
but like.
A nice little touch. Yeah. I like that. Wow.
Nice. I know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's basically all your pie. It's very sweet. It's charming. It's silly. It's the timing's not great, and some of the jokes don't really land. But the ones that do, they're pretty good.
Legendary Frog does it again.
Yeah, and I have actually written down my favorite line in the whole thing.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Which is that if you eat a pie, you will have a 5% increase of yummy.
That was, yeah. No, yeah, that made me laugh as well.
Because, like, in terms of voice acting, it's pretty good. Like the radio guy delivers it with such passion.
Conviction.
Yeah. It's just really pleasant. And yeah. I still feel good knowing that it exists and what I'm rewatching it. Because, like, yeah, this is a part of my childhood which, like, was surprisingly important to me.
Mm.
And I dig it.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Also, like, I'm only just noticing, in hindsight, how, like, intense Ark's whole look is.
Yeah, it's like, he's kind of got, like, a weird, it's sort of dreadlocks thing going on.
Yeah, so he looks like a Vampire the Masquerade LARPer.
Absolutely.
Taking things incredibly seriously. He's got, like, the open Vampire Lestat shirt from, like, Interview with a Vampire or something. But he's also got, like, the sci-fi dreads going on.
Yeah.
And just like the classic early 2000s goatee.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And in terms of character design, like it works, I think. Like there is no way you would mistake him for any other character.
It's memorable, it's striking.
Striking is the word, yeah. Like if you saw someone walking down the street with that look,
you'd be like
especially with like the ear piercings as well, you'd be like, yeah.
Is that a fucking Ark and Kerrigan reference?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. So, we've already covered, Legendary Frog back in episode number one in terms of Flesh.
Was that long ago? Wow, yeah.
But, I can give you a small and exciting update, which is that at the time of recording, Legendary Frog has been working on pre-production for The One Ring to Rule Them All new cartoon.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Wow.
And has been posting updates to his Patreon and stuff.
Oh.
Which is actually kind of exciting.
Oh, that is exciting.
Yeah. So like we'll definitely be covering that.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, and he's still doing stuff. He's still on Twitter and doing stuff with he's also memeing. So this is already kind of an old meme because it happened last week. But he has done a Johnny Johnny Yes Papa, but it is a Kerry Kerry Yes Arky eating muffins. No Arky. It doesn't work without like a slightly accented voice and some generic public domain music behind it. Really. but yeah, and also, if you're interested in more Ark and Kerrigan stuff, obviously there are a few more cartoons in the series, mm-hmm. which we'll probably look at some point.
Yeah.
But also, he, for a few years, did a few little comics with them. They're basically just webcomics with a similar sense of humor, but they were done in Flash, and they have a satisfying page-turny sound when you click the next button.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and it's just another example of him sort of like, you know, expanding the kind of stuff that he wants to make, and especially in like the late 2000s, early 2000s, when Flash was starting to wane.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. So what we do have, though, is a bunch of comments.
Okay.
So, do you want to kick us off with a comment from just a couple of years ago?
Yeah, so, Minty Toucan.
Delicious.
April 13th, 2016. Timeless classic. I still watch this video, like, every 6 months. Lol.
Yeah, fair enough. Super Saiyan Nitro, way back when this came out, November 2002, said, "That was great. That was some funny shit. This should not get blammed. It's funny shit."
It's not get blam, Ed.
Yes.
Pikanjo.
Yeah, Pikanjo, a.k.a. John and Richie Zerbis of the Perfect Kirby fame.
Yeah, November 23, that's the day after this came out, I guess. Oh My Pie, Joseph, you've done it again. So funny and so smooth. Star Wars Monkey, Pie Day, Talking Pie, Dental Plan, Mentos, Kerrigan Kirby, and so many other quirks that I fell over laughing. Yummy pie.
I think you'll find that's in all caps. So,
yummy pie.
There you go.
Sorry.
Yeah, but it came out. It got like Daily First Place. It was like a curator's choice or whatever. Mm-hmm. Review crew.
Wow, that's hard to say. Review crew.
Review crew pick. Wow. Yeah, it was the Daily Feature, all that kind of stuff. Not everybody liked it though.
Oh boy.
So Bamkosh in 2010.
Bamkosh.
Bamkosh, if you're listening, not a slight against you. Just a. I just misspoke. Bamkosh in 2010, so 8 years after this came out, gave the review unoriginal, lame, what else? If anyone has ever seen The Simpsons episode, Lisa on Ice, Homer attempts to eat Marge's pie, but fails to succeed. This story does the same thing years later. As for the characters, they lack interest, and the voice acting is horrid. The animation is also weak. 1 out of 5. No questions asked. No exceptions.
All right. I mean, you're several years late to the party, for sure.
Yeah, I kind of like seeing people go back and do, like, these, you know, short paragraph angry reviews about stuff that is years old.
That's not angry. That guy's just got a stick up their ass.
I kind of... Actually, in my brain, I... fucking Augustus St. Cloud from Venture Bros saying that. An original meme.
Yeah,
what else?
That's like the comic nerd from The Simpsons.
You should learn some tweening, quiz boy.
Yeah. Yes.
And finally, we have another one-star review from...
I misread that. Snyder. Cinder.
Yeah, Cinder with a Y.
Ooh, that's how you know it's serious. December 4th, 2004. Why does every cartoon have to be a soup can? What?
Just keep going.
Okay. Pie. How original. How awesome. Really, the ideas I appreciate the most are new ones. Original ones. How many damn pie videos are there? Too many. How many are funny? None. I had to stop watching when the pie told him to eat the pie. I was falling asleep. This tune needs two things. Originality and some gravy. It's a bit dry. I must give credit where credit is due. Your characters were nicely done. You have talent. Just open your mind and think outside the pie. And your insert generic soup can pop song here. Pop equals pie, and pie equals unoriginal, and pop equals stupid. Wow.
So, at the risk of sounding a bit like a university lecturer, there's a lot to unpack there.
It immediately makes me think of the fucking Donkey Kong Country Navigator review.
Oh my gosh!
If you're not like this, you are stupid. That's just immediately what my mind goes to.
Yeah, I have no idea what Cinder means by soup can. I don't know. The only possible explanation I can think of, and please write in flashinthepancast@gmail.com if you have any idea what Cinder means by this cartoon being a soup can. But maybe it's a reference to the Andy Warhol soup cans, and the idea is that it, like the soup cans, it all looks the same.
Yeah, like, that's all I can think of as well. It's like, they say, like, soup cans are all the same, so by definition, if you're a soup can, that means you're not original.
Maybe? I don't know. Also, this person, like, really isn't a fan of Utada Hikaru. Which is a shame, because Simple and Clean is a fucking banger.
It is a banger.
Even, like, what, almost 20 years later.
Even though she admitted that when she wrote the English lyrics, she just wrote down any old shit that came into her head because it had to be done quickly.
Yep, that doesn't surprise me at all. But it works.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that was all your pie. For all its simplicity, it definitely sparked some pretty strong emotions across the board, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, next up, we've got a bit of a tonal shift, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Because next up is a cartoon called Lilium.
All right, then.
That was a lot more intense than I was expecting.
Yeah.
We will put a little content warning at the start of it, but
holy shit!
Just in case, yeah. This cartoon gets a pretty intense, gory.
Yeah.
And like, woo. Okay.
Yeah.
So, where do we? First of all, the music is Lilium, which is a song from the soundtrack of the anime series Elfen Lied, mm-hmm. which I might have mentioned in a previous episode, but basically is the apotheosis of mid-2000s edgelord anime stuff.
Yeah.
And was clearly an inspiration, given that this is also about a troubled young girl who does a violence.
Mm-hmm.
You want to take us through the plot?
There's a ghost or something that tells a girl, like, hey, I could really go for, like, an unborn baby right about now. And she just goes and is like...
What, like sending her to Burger King?
Yeah. And she just goes and, like, gets one out from her mother.
Mm-hmm. Kills her parents.
Kills her parents.
With some poison.
Gets the baby, gives it to the shadow, and then he's like, what do you want in return? She's like, I want a friend. She's like, that's not possible. I can't do that. And then she's like, all right, give me my brother back then. He's like, I can't do that either. and then, all right, fine, I want you dead. And he goes, fair enough. Literally says, fair enough.
Yes.
And that's it.
That's basically it. But it's all told with this rather stylish, anime-tinged gothic. You know, like the main character, she is in an intense gothic Lolita look.
Yeah.
Which, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, very, very strong outfit.
Very, very strong.
Reminiscent of pretty much every anime goth girl from the mid-90s.
Yeah.
Including Ashley from WarioWare.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, like, she's got a great look. Mm-hmm. And honestly, the style with, like, the scribbly drawings around the boards of the screen, like, it's cheap, but it works.
Mm.
And yeah. The shadow looks sufficiently menacing, I think.
It does,
like, aesthetically, I think this holds together.
Yeah, it does, it more reminds me of, like, an animatic, like, a moving storyboard than, like, an animation. Like, it is animated, but...
There's not much animation.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, it's more kind of, like, camera pans and plays with depth of field a little bit.
It's like a motion comic.
Yeah, it's like a motion comic, basically. It's the kind of thing... It's the kind of thing I used to do. I used to work on that kind of stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah. So, yeah, it's less like an animated movie and more like... Yeah, it feels more like a storyboard.
Yeah, yeah. That's fair.
Mm.
So I wrote down a couple of things, as yeah. I often do. Firstly, I wrote gothic Lolita outfit.
Yeah.
Gothic in the traditional My Immortal spelling.
Right, yeah.
Spooky rhyming, I wrote.
There is...
Because all of the dialogue rhymes, and not well, most of the time. At one point, the creator, she rhymes shadow with meadow, and that kind of thing. And the meter is all over the place. Don't get me started on the meter. Goodness me. But... and there's a bit of, like, faux old-timey language and so on. But, like, I think that's standard for this kind of...
Yeah.
For this kind of aesthetic. Yeah. You want it to sound slightly creepy and Victorian.
But you don't quite know how.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you improvise. I think it's alright, yeah. I also wrote darkness.
Yeah.
With lots of R's, because, like, this is very grim dark. This is very... Around the same time that Johnny the Homicidal Maniac became big as a comic thing in the sort of early 2000s Invader Zim timeline.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
There was a spin-off called Squee, but there was also a very popular character around the Hot Topic cyberdog sort of teens called Lenore, which I don't know if you remember. She was Lenore, the poor little dead girl, and she was very sort of... Tim Burton, Edward Gorey, troubled young girl, and she appeared on, like, bags and t-shirts and so on.
If you showed it to me, I'd probably be like, oh, yeah.
I'm going to show it to you right now.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, Lenore, the cute little dead girl.
Yeah.
Who had, like, the little skull things in her hair and so on.
Yeah, I've absolutely seen that before.
In a very Joan Vasquez style.
Very.
But not actually by Joan Vasquez, it was by Roman Dirge. But I think... But tonally, that feels like a precursor,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it? Is the question. Like, do you think it worked?
I think
for you.
I think it works as a whole.
It's definitely an unpleasant surprise if you don't know what you're in for.
Yeah. I think it achieves what it sets out to accomplish. It's personally probably not really for me. I don't really tend to go in for like
the grimdark
baby murder. Usually. Yeah, grimdark stuff's not really my thing.
That's fair.
So,
yeah. Oh, there's one more thing which I forgot to mention, which is okay. So the music throughout the short is from Elfin Lied, mm-hmm. but the outro music is by Chris Vrenner, and it is from the soundtrack to American McGee's Alice.
Yeah.
Which was a twisted grimdark Alice in Wonderland game that was, again, very popular among a certain set in this timeline.
Yeah.
And to me, because it's got the creepy clockwork sounds mm-hmm. and so on. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it definitely fits into that kind of twisted Victoriana style-y.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's interesting.
Yeah.
I actually kind of enjoyed it. It was like a nice little, ooh, okay. It was like reading like a short horror story or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're complete with ironic twist and so on.
Yeah.
Which I enjoyed. So it's time to move on to the next segment because it sounds like there's a lot of Flash.
There's so much. There is so much connected to this like one animation.
And I'm going to lean back in my chair.
Okay, so this Lilium was created by Amai Kun, a Swedish animator.
Okay.
They joined Newgrounds June 6th, 2005.
This is the person called Emmy in the credits, right?
Yeah, they joined Newgrounds June 6th, 2005, and uploaded this as their first animation 3 days later. Now, there's an interesting note there. Some of the comments, one comment in particular I saw, which she responded to, was like, I can't believe you made this in 3 days. And it's like, dude, you know you can, like, make something and then join a website and then post it, like, later on, right?
Yes.
Like, anyway, so, the animation was extremely popular, having been watched nearly 2 million times.
Which is colossal for Newgrounds.
Massive for Newgrounds. It was front page the day it was released.
Yeah.
It won daily third place and weekly fourth place. The following year, she released a teaser for a Lilium series, but it sadly appears to have never seen the light of day.
Huh.
Which is a shame.
I mean, if you start with, like, you know, ripping your baby brother from your mother's womb, then, like, where do you go from there?
Yeah, where do you go from there? That would have been interesting to see.
Yes, yeah, I suppose. Hopefully it wouldn't just be, like, more
baby murder.
Yeah.
So Amai Kun appears to be part of an online comics collective named Petite Symphony.
Ooh, okay.
Assumedly contributing to a comic called Kickin' Rad. I only assume because in the post she made on Newgrounds, she specifically mentions Kickin' Rad, although the site seems to suggest the comic was posted in 2012, whereas the post on Newgrounds was made in 2009, which is confusing. Petite Symphony paid host to several other comics, including Generation 17, Seed, Jandora, Hide, that's spelled H-E-I-D, and Knuckle Up. It was created by a team of people listed on the sidebar, James Dooley, Jas Befrold, Ethan Quicks, and Ashnar, and someone whose leg is either broken or has been removed entirely.
Okay. Can I just say that both Knuckle Up and Kickin' Rad are my favourite skate punk bands?
Yeah. Petite Symphony became Comics Break in 2014. The Jandora comic seems to have continued here alongside a separate story called Jandora Mandabi. Other comics include Chimera High, The Legend of Lucy, and Velino Sisters. It's also, like, they're all incredibly fucking fairy. Seemingly kept up to date until December 2015, where all comics seemingly went on hiatus, apart from Legend of Lucy, which updated last week.
Oh, wow.
I'm
going to bring up Legend of Lucy now.
Yes. A disclaimer for if you want to check out Comics Break, it is not safe for work. There's a TID right there on the front page. Jandora may have been horny, but there's no way to know because it was deleted by the author.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah. Further investigation into the author of Kicking Rad turns up a deviant art for Divi, which is still active, but lists them as having lived in the United States, and I don't know what to believe anymore. P.S. Divi's gallery is furry as shit.
Okay. Okay. I mean, clicking through the various things you mentioned, this is incredibly furry.
Yeah.
But, like, it's pretty stylish. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay. I can see why this went on for ages.
Yeah.
Like, honestly.
I recognize the name James Dooley for some reason, but I'm not sure why.
Yes. Yeah, the protagonist of Legend of Lucy, or at least one of the characters, seems to be some kind of demon pig.
Yeah.
With like, massive pink hair. Which is an interesting look.
That is interesting. So yeah, they're somehow connected to this comics thing, but then the connection seems to go to someone else or something. I'm not sure entirely what's happened there, whether the person moved and the comic was re-uploaded years later for reasons I don't know.
Fair enough.
But yeah, it's cool to see like all this stuff that they worked on, and that some of it's still going.
So where does Lilium fit into that?
It just kind of, like, there's a hint that they will bring back Lilium under Petite Symphony, but I'm searching around the site, doesn't appear to have even come back in comic form. So I guess just kind of dead in the water.
That's a shame.
It's a shame.
Yeah, it would have been interesting to see where she went with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, that's... Huh. Yeah. Okay, yeah, so you this is a link to a whole little circle of artists and so on.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So let us head over to the comment section.
Yeah.
Which you've picked out some for us.
I picked out some.
You want to kick us off?
Yeah, so Gamesaurus 2...
Gamesaurus 2.
Yeah, Gamesaurus 2. This year, April 8th. Glad to see it was still here. It was one of the very first movies I've ever watched in Newgrounds. Like the style, like the song, like the ending as well. It makes me believe this would be only the prologue of some greater story.
Which is exactly what it was meant to be.
Yep.
Okay. X-Crimson, and that's Crimson with a Y... Maybe they're friends with Cinder with a Y.
Maybe.
In 2007, said X loved the expressions of her dead parents' faces. Loved the song. Heard it from Elfenlied.
Yep.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yep. Lord of all hamsters.
That's my favourite hymn.
June 6th, 2007. Not bad, but... deeply disturbing. It got me paranoid. Completely twisted.
Ooh. Paranoid about what?
I'm not sure.
That a goth girl was going to appear and steal the Lord of all Hamsters baby.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't.
Yeah. Yeah. The last one we got here is by RoboStewie 3849. I guess RoboStewie's... 1 through 3,848 just didn't have the gumption.
He just couldn't cut it.
So the sorry, that's such a stupid fucking joke. RoboStewie 3849 said, "Very nice and very good artwork. Thee was a good storyline, and you are the best artist I have eve seen in life." And every single one of those words had it was capitalized in, yeah, in title case.
Which was why it drew my eye.
Yeah, yeah. So pretty much, like...
It was generally well received.
Yeah, yeah. This seems like pretty universal acclaim.
The only thing people really... the only criticism I seem to run into was, I want more.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see why. Like, it's really stylish. It's got a good sense of identity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like, yeah, it's cool. So we are gonna move on to a couple of listener emails. So the first email we have is by Indy, friend of the show Indy.
Mm-hmm.
They write in saying, "Your discussion of the 8-bit D&D animation inspired me to do some digging into the original sketch. like you said, it's pretty clear that whoever wrote it really got the vibe of an actual D&D session. I was also curious just how old the sketch was, because I remember hearing it in audio before ever seeing a Flash animation of it. Probably played at some D&D session I was in myself. I was pretty surprised to find out, via Wikipedia, that the sketch seems to have been written by Dan Harmon.
Oh, that absolutely makes sense.
Yeah,
Have you ever seen Community?
I've only seen bits and pieces.
There is a whole Dungeons & Dragons episode in Community.
That sounds pretty fun.
So, and it actually kind of, like, opened my eyes as to, like, D&D actually being, like, a cool, fun thing you can do with your friends.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, and Indy continued on to say that, no one they know had ever heard this before, had ever heard that it was Dan Harmon before, and that no one else knew about it, about it being him. And they finished by saying, at least this puts to rest the thing in the back of my mind going, dang, whoever wrote this was really clever, but the sketch itself has been a bit overshadowed by all the fan works. I hope whoever wrote it's doing okay for himself.
Dan Harmon's doing pretty all right.
Yeah, I think he's fine.
Yeah.
Dan Harmon's fine.
Yeah.
And says, thought you might be interested. Love the show. We are awesome. Oh, thank you. Thank you for bringing so much good early internet feelings. Oh, that's really... Thank you very much, Andy.
That is the aim.
And, like, thank you for educating us, because
that's
wild.
That is amazing.
Oh, I imagine what would happen if, like, you went up to him, you know, like, at a panel at a convention, and was like, so, when you were doing stuff with the dead Alewise, like, just imagine, like, what his face would do.
What?
Dan Harmon, when you were in the past... Yeah, that is... Wow, I am happy knowing this now.
Yeah.
And also we got a contacted by Salamandrew. Now Salamandrew actually got in contact with me a while ago, basically telling us that there is a project called Flashpoint. Flashpoint is essentially a Flash animation and game archive that is currently 34 gigs. Well, you can find it at bluemaxima.org/flashpoint. And yeah, you download, it's just a massive pack of Flash games with a bunch of animations included in it.
That's awesome.
And it is an ongoing archival project.
Nice.
And this is just a really, really cool thing.
Oh yeah, that's awesome.
And yeah, I wanted to highlight it because, like, I'd never heard of this before and it sounds brilliant.
That's awesome.
And it's got so many, just like scrolling through the list of names, there are so many things I recognize. There are so many, it's got a few animations as part of it, which some of which are even on our lists to cover.
Yeah.
But yeah, like if you've got a spare 35 gigs, then like you could do a lot worse than getting Flashpoint.
Yeah, wow, that's awesome.
It's really awesome.
Check that out. Absolutely. That's great.
Yeah. So, thank you, Salamandrew, for also, like, that's an amazing username, by the way. Salamandrew. That's great.
Well done on that one. Well done.
Yeah. It's basically MAME for Flash games.
Awesome.
Yeah. Thank you folks for writing in, and also thank you for sending us your experiences with your first ever Flash animations that we talked about recently.
Yeah.
We have plans for those suggestions,
which you will
find out about soon. But if you have any more, then keep sending them in to flashinthepancast@gmail.com. Tell us about your experiences with Flash animation when you were a young'un, or maybe if you still use it now, that would be cool. And if you have any other questions, comments, I don't know, exciting birthday cake designs, hats.
What if there's a birthday cake design after, like, a flash animation?
I want a Lilium birthday cake.
Lilium birthday cake.
It would probably just be, like, a sponge fetus.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's
it wouldn't look
about
as bad as the Lady Jersey Devil they make in that one episode of Cake Boss.
No, you're right.
Now, okay, this is a deep pull, but you know what I'm talking about, right? So there's an episode of Cake Boss, right? which is not only it's not only like a ghost hunter episode where like some dipshit paranormal investigator guys come in with like, ooh, the spirit of your dead father lurks this restaurant, right? But also They're making a special cake for a group of paranormal guys who are going out into the wilds to hunt the Jersey Devil. And to lure the Jersey Devil, they make a cake that is designed to look like a sexy lady Jersey Devil. With, like, boobs and big lips and shapely hips.
If a Jersey Devil was real, it would have no concept of these things.
What, of boobs?
Well, yeah, but, like, not that or it's cake. Supposed to be attractive. You know?
Yeah, I mean, we don't know the Jersey Devil's tastes.
Well, I guess
although
not.
In Cake Boss, they seem to assume that the Jersey Devil is A, male, B, very straight, and C, incredibly horny for cake.
It's a bit suspect, if you ask me.
Are you saying that it's actually the Cake Boss himself who wants to fuck the Jersey Devil? Because we're recording this, and you could go to court.
Listen.
Allegedly, the cake boss wants to fuck the Jersey Devil. There, we're fine now.
Okay. I'm nothing but a seeker of the truth.
The sexy, sexy truth.
Anyway. A little bit off track there, but it was worth it.
Send emails in to flashinthepancast@gmail.com. Once again, you can head to our website, flashinthepancast.com, where you find all our previous episodes and links to the tunes we have talked about. Mm-hmm. Alex, where can people find you on the internet?
Our twitter.com/dex01. It rhymes. I didn't intend for it to, but it does.
Okay.
A lot of music at alexvalentine.bandcamp.com. I've started to actually physically sell CDs. I've made £40.
Yay!
And I have Let's Play videos that date all the way back from 2013 up until this year at youtube.com/VNDLP.
Nice. And you can find me on Twitter at Gertrude Perkins. That's Gertrude PRKNS.
So the end of this podcast appears to have been eaten at some point, so I'm going to have to do the ending now. You can find Tom's other Twitter at nonarticles, our Twitter for the show, that's at flashitpancast, flashitpancast. And you can find links to all the cartoons that we talked about and all the previous episodes at flashinthepancast.com. We have been Tom and Alex, and until next time, remember that if there is an explosion at the Pie Factory, at least it will be a delicious one. Blam this piece of crap. Also, Cake Boss, please do not sue me.